And again, this Shabbos is Parshas Bahaloscha, and the Parsha begins with the mitzvah of Hadlakas HaMenorah. And this is the superficial connection between the Parsha and the Haftarah. Haftarah is about the Nevuah that Zechariah had at the beginning of the Binyan Bayisheni, that he sees a menorah, a gold menorah, and so on. There's a deeper connection between the Parsha and the Haftarah, but that's the superficial connection. The menorah was lit every day in the Beis HaMikdosh. According to the Rambam, it was lit twice a day every day, once in the morning, once in the evening, according to the Rashba, and most of the Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam, was only lit once a day in the evening. In the morning, they did Hatovas HaMenorah. They cleaned out each one of the seven containers. They took out the wicks after the fire went out. They took out the wick that was burnt and the leftover oil, if there was any leftover oil. They would fill it up again with oil and with wicks to prepare for the hadlaka that's going to take place at night. So that was the mitzvah of hadlaka samanoira. Then the parsha has the choice of Shevet Levi. Then the parsha has the bechira of Shevet Levi. The Or Sameach happened to have been a kohen. So he has a chiddush. He thinks that Shevet Levi doesn't have any more kedusha than anybody else. He thinks there's only a concept of Shevet Levi. Most poskim assume not so. Most assume there's a kedushas Levi and then there's a Shevet Levi. Let's say there's a kohen who is a cholol. A man is a kohen, marries a grusha, so all of his children are halolim. So a cholol doesn't have kedushas kohuna at all. He's permitted to marry a giyores and a grusha. He's permitted to be metamei lemesim, but he's still part of Shevet Levi. So whenever there's a din that depends on Shevet Levi, a cholol will be included. Whenever there's a din that depends on kedushas Levi, the cholol will not be included. So that's what most assume, that there is such a thing as kedushas Levi. And the Meshech Chochma comes up with a chiddush that there's no such thing as kedushas Levi. It's only Shevet Levi. And he has an interesting comment. The Gemara says, we know that a Sefer Torah has Kedusha, and then we know that the Tashmishe Kedusha have Kedusha. Let's say in Aron Kodesh, which is Miyuchat to hold the Sefer Torah. So when you build an Aron Kodesh, Kozman, you didn't put the Sefer Torah in it. So that's called Hazmana Lab Milsi. I designated this Aron Kodesh to use the place of Sefer Torah. Let's say I go to the Judaica store and I buy a tefillin zekel. I have a pair of tefillin at home, and I buy a tefillin zekel. So Kolzman, I didn't put the tefillin yet into the tefillin zekel. That's a machlokes abai v'rove, and we paskin like rove. There are only six cases, yalkagam, when we paskin like abai. So abai holds hazmana milsehi. If you designated this to place the Sefer Torah in, and if you designated this to place the tefillin in, it already has the status of Tashmishi Kedusha. Al Shem Ha'asid is going to be Mishamish. And we don't pass like Abai, we pass like Rabbi. Hazman Alav Milsehi. So the Gemara says the Aron Kodesh has Kedusha, the mental of the Sefer Torah has Kedusha, it's Tashmishi Kedusha. But if you have Tashmish to Tashmish, something is twice removed, let's say you have an Aron Kodesh, then you have a Pareches in front of the Aron Kodesh. So the Pareches is to beautify the Aron Kodesh, and the Aron Kodesh is to house the Sefer Torah. So since the Pareches is twice removed from the Sefer Torah, that's what we call Tashmish the Tashmish. So the Pareches does not have Kedusha. Only the Aron Kodesh has Kedusha. Once you put the Sefer Torah in, so the Aron Kodesh is considered Tashmish Kedusha. So the Gemara says, Bizmana Gemara, the practice, it would be a standard practice when you would take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron Kodesh. They would take down the Pareches. By us, the Pareches hangs in front of the Aron Kodesh such a way you can't take it down. It's a major job to take it down. But in the days of the Gemara, they would take it down every 3 days a week, Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos. They would take it down, put it on the Shulchan, put it to Sefer Torah directly on top of it. So in the days of the Gemara, the Pareches had the status of Tashmishi Kedusha because the practice was Kavua. They would put the Sefer Torah directly on the Pareches. It's already many centuries that we no longer do that. We no longer take on the Pareches. We have a mappa. We have a special mappa to place on the Shulchan. So that has the status of Tashmish Kedusha, but the Pareches is Tashmish to Tashmish. That's why in Europe there used to be a pretty common practice that when a couple would get married, they would take the Pareches from the shul and use it to make a chuppah. How can you use it if it has, the Gemara says that the Pareches has the status of Tashmish Kedusha. How can you use it for anything other than being Mishamesh, the Sefer Torah? The answer is that it's already many centuries that we no longer have that practice. Nobody takes down the Pareches to put it on the Shulchan to place the Sefer Torah directly on top of it. So the Pareches remains Tashmish to Tashmish, twice removed from the Sefer Torah, and therefore it doesn't have any Kedusha. So the Meshech Chochmah raises the question, where did the Tanoim get all these ideas from? That Tashmish and Kedusha have Kedusha, and if it's twice removed, Tashmish to Tashmish, it doesn't have Kedusha. So he says they established it based on the Kohanim and the Levim. The Korbanas have Kedusha. The Kohanim are Makriv, the Korbanas. So the Kohanim are like Tashmishi Kedusha. And the Levim are Nesunim, Nesunim, Hemela, Aaron, Avana. The Levim are supposed to be Mishamish, the Kohanim, who in turn are Mishamish, the Korbanas. So Levim are twice removed from the Korbanas. So that's why the Levim don't have any Kedusha at all. They have a regular Kedusha Yisrael. They're from Shevet Levit, but they don't have any higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Klal Yisrael. That's what the Meshech Chochmah says. But most assume not so. Most assume that there is a concept of Kedushas Leviya, and there is a concept of Shevet Levi. There is a Gemara in the end of Pcheres, unfortunately, comes up every so often. A girl is a Bas Kohen, and she marries a non-Jew. So she has a baby. So the din is that let's say a girl is a Kohenes or a Leviya, and she marries a Yisrael. So the children are not Kohanim or Levim. The Mishpachosim Lebeis Avosim. Mishpachasav Kriyim Mishpacha. Mishpachasayim Eni Kriyim Mishpacha. The status of the children is determined by the father, not by the mother. So nonetheless, even though the child is not a Kohen, not a Levi, but still the child is not Chayv in Pidyon HaBen. Since the Peter Rechem Tala Rachman, since the mother is a Kohen, so the mother is a Leviya, so the child, even though the child is not a Kohen or a Levi, but since he came out from the Rechem of the mother, and the mother is a Kohen or a Leviya, so the child is not Chayv in Pidyon HaBen. But what if the mother is married to an Ochri? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara in the end of Pcheres, next to the last Perek of Pcheres is a self-contained Perek, has all the dinim of Pidyon HaBen, Perek Yesh Pchor. It's an easy Perek. In Shulchan Aruch, it's only one Simon Shin Hei, has all the dinim of Pidyon HaBen. So the Gemara makes a distinction. The Gemara says, if a Kohenis is Nivola to a Nochri, she loses a Kedusha's Kohuna. So then, by the time the baby is born, 9 months later, maybe longer than 9 months later, the mother, the mother is no longer a Kohenis. She's Nivola L'Pasala. So therefore, the child will be Chayv in Pidyon HaBen. Who's going to do the Pidyon HaBen? The father's an Ochri, he can't do. So the Bezin does, usually the Bezin does the Pidyon HaBen. And that's a machloikis in Shulchan Aruch, whether anybody other than the father of the child can do Pidyon HaBen. The father's an Ochri, it's out of the question. And the child, when he grows up, can do Pidyon HaBen. By Bris Milah, it says, if the father didn't do the Bris Milah, so then the Bezin should take care of it. If the Bezin doesn't do it, then Kol Yisrael should take care of it. Kol Yisrael don't take care of it, then when the child reaches Bar Mitzvah, he's Mechuyev to see to it that he gets a Bris Milah. And by Pidyon HaBen, you don't have such a long brisa. By Pidyon HaBen, it says the father should take care of the Pidyon HaBen. If the father didn't take care, when the child becomes Bar Mitzvah, he should do his own Pidyon HaBen. So the Ramah quotes the Rivosh in Siman Shin Hei. Why did it leave out in the Brisa this one long Brisa about Bris Milah and about Pidyon HaBen? How come by Pidyon HaBen it didn't say if the father didn't take care, Bezin should take care? If the Bezin didn't take care, then Kol Yisrael should take care. If it wasn't taken care of, then the child reaches Bar Mitzvah, he should take care of his own Pidyon HaBen. So the Rivosh was Medayek HaChidish from the Brisa that by Pidyon HaBen, an outsider can't do the Pidyon HaBen. Achidush, and others disagree. So in Hungary and in Galicia, the minig was like the Chasam Sefer. The Pischei Tshuva there, Simon Shinhei, quotes the Chasam Sefer, that you do twice Pidyon HaBen. The Bezin should do Pidyon HaBen on Yom Lamed Aleph B'li Bracha. Then when the child becomes Bar Mitzvah, he should do his own Pidyon HaBen a second time B'li Bracha. And in Lithuania, the minig was that they just ignored this rivash. They did the pinyan aben on the yom laman aleph and farting. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. He remembered the minig of Lithuania was they just ignored the rivash. The bezin would do the pinyan aben. So the Gemara has such a contrast. The Gemara says, if a woman is a kohenis and she marries a nochri, when I was in the rabbinate, one of the balabatim in the shul was a kohen, and one of his daughters married a nochri. That was before he became a bal tshuva, and then after he became a bal tshuva, one of the younger daughters married a kohel boy. So one daughter was married to a nochri, and one daughter was married to a kohelnik, and I think they lived in Eretz Sfardi, a kohelnik. So I remember we were talking about when the first daughter had a baby. I forgot whether it was a boy or a girl. So before the baby was born, we were discussing the dinim. If it's a boy, what are you going to do for pinyan aben? So the Gemara draws such a contrast that if the mother's a levia and she's nivola to a nochri, it doesn't change her status. She remains a levia, and when the child is born, it doesn't need pinyan aben. But if the mother's a kohenis and she's nivola to the nochri, then she loses a kedushas kahuna. And when the baby is born, but the mother is no longer a kohenis, so the child will need pinyan aben. So Tosis is bothered with Akasha. Every kohenis is also a levia. So fine, you say the kohenis is nivola to a nochri, she forfeits, she loses a kedushas kahuna, but why doesn't she have kedushas levia? And the levia who's nivola to a nochri remains a levia. So Tosis says, you see from this Gemara that a person who's a kohen is not a levi. The kohenis is not a levia, she's only a kohenis. Yeah, but the Gemara says that in 24 places on Tanach B'chof Talad Mekam Misnikru Kohanim Levim, every kohen is also a levi. So how can this Gemara say that a kohen is not a levi? So the simple answer is usually assumed in the yeshivas. The simple answer is that there are two concepts of levia, the shaved levi and kedushas levi. So Tosis shows from the Gemara that one who has kedushas kohuna doesn't have kedushas levia. But the person still is Shevet Levi. In order to be potter from Pidyon HaBen, you have to have either Kedushas Kohuna or Kedushas Leviya. In order for the mother, the Peter Rechem Tal Rachmana, it's not enough if she's from Shevet Levi. She has to have Kedushas Kohuna or Kedushas Leviya. So if the mother is a Kohenis who is living with a Nochri, so Kedushas Kohuna is gone, and she never had Kedushas Leviya in the first place. Because B'chof Dal Mekar Misnik or Kohanim Leviya means that they're Shevet Levi, but they're not Kedushas Leviya. And the Levia doesn't forfeit her Kedushas Levia by living with a Nochri. So she still has the Kedushas Levia. That's what we usually assume, not like this Meshech Chachman. Meshech Chachman was a Kohen. So he knocks all the Levim. They don't have Kedushas Levia, they only have a din of Shevet Levi. And he quotes the comment that the Chazal have on the Pasuk later, in Parshas, the end of Parshas Korach, that Torah reviews a lot of the Matnas Kohuna. Because Korach was nechlak ala kahuna, Rashi quotes from the Medrash, so that's why the Torah repeats many of the Chof Talad Matnas Kahuna. So the Torah says that truma has to be eaten in the kedusha of tahara, but ma'aserisha machalta ma'aser b'chol makim. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, afilu bebeis hakvaris, the levim can eat the ma'aserisha even in the cemetery, because even though they are tamei, and even though the ma'aserisha is tamei, there's no kedusha to Ma'aserisha. Ma'aserisha has kedusha. Ma'aserisha doesn't have any kedusha. The Levim don't have any kedusha. So there's no din that Ma'aserisha has to be eaten the kedusha of the tahara, because the Levim don't have kedusha. That's what the Meshech Chachma claims. But the Kohanim have kedusha. That's why the truma has kedusha. So the truma has to be eaten the tahara, the kedusha of the tahara. Okay. That's a chiddush on the Meshech Chachma. Then the Torah continues with the din of Pesach Midbar. Pesach Mitzrayim was clearly a Hayruashah. There was no Beis HaMikdash, there was no Mizbeach. They did the Zrikas Hadam, Ashtem Zuzos Ve'ala Mashkof. But even in the Midbar, when they had the Mishkan, the Gemara says in the first Perek Sochim that the obligation to participate in Korban Pesach is only for those who live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Pesach Midbar is assumed, even the first year, the Pesach Midbar was a Hayruashah. It wasn't their regular din. And then the Torah has the Shaila came, there were people who were Tom and Mason, they weren't able to participate in the Korban Pesach. So they came and they asked the Shaila, is there a possibility of making tashlumin? So the Ribbono Shel Olam told him, yes, there's an institution of Pesach Sheni. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't told the din of Pesach Sheni Har Sinai. The Ramban in his Hagdama, his commentary on Chumash, points out that even though we usually assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu all of the Taryag mitzvahs at Har Sinai, but some of the mitzvahs were clearly, some of the halachas were clearly not told Pesach Sheni, he didn't know about yet. And not all the details of Yerusha, he didn't know till after the Bnei Tzlochet came and asked the Shaila, so then he was told additional din. Some of the mitzvahs were clearly not told yet, not yet told to him at Har Sinai. The Gemara has a famous machlekes hatanaim, Rebbe and Rebbe Nosson. They both lived after the Churban Habayis. But there's a machlekes hatanaim. What was the din? Is manchet beis hamikdash? What's the nature of Pesach Sheni? So Rebbe Nosson, the Tana Rebbe Nosson, is of the opinion that Pesach Sheni is tashlumin the Rishon. Means whoever was nischayev to bring Pesach Rishon, whoever was Jewish and was by mitzvah on Pesach Rishon and didn't bring it for some reason or another, should bring Pesach Sheni. And Rebbe's opinion is, and that's how the Rambam paskins like Rebbe, Rebbe's opinion is not so. That Pesach Sheni is a regal bifnei atzma. It's not a tashlumet for Pesach Rishon. Even if you have a kotten shehigdel bentayim, a child became by mitzvah in between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. It's a month in between. A child became by mitzvah in between, or a gel was nizgayer in between. So Rebbe's opinion is that they're chayef to bring Pesach Sheni. If it would have been like Rav Nosson, it's Tashlum and the Rishon, so then you say whoever was Nischayev on Yudala Nissen to bring Pesach Rishon, and it didn't bring it, can do Tashlum and bring it on Pesach Sheni. But if you say that it's not Tashlum and the Rishon, Pesach Sheni is a regal bifnei atzma, so then whoever is Bar Chiyuva, whoever is Jewish, even though he wasn't Jewish on Yudala Nissen, as long as he's Jewish on Yudala the ear, he's up, and he didn't participate in Pesach Rishon yet. If he's by mitzvah, he's Jewish, and Yud Aleph here, he's obligated to bring Pesach Shem. That's how the Rambam paskins, like Rebbe. The Netziv has a commentary on the Sifrei. He thinks that there's a third opinion in the Tanoim regarding Pesach Sheni, whether it's Tashlum and the Rishon or Regal Bifnei Atzmai. He thinks the Sifrei presents a third opinion that a Gersh and his Gair Bintayim would not be Chayiv, but a Kotten Shehigdel would be Chayiv. Why should you distinguish? So he says, we really hold that it's Tashlum in the Rishon. So if the Ger was a Nochri on Pesach Rishon, he wasn't Jewish on Yudal and Nissen. He was never in his Chayiv to bring Korban Pesach. But if he was a Kotten on Pesach Rishon, then Pesach Rishon can be Mechayiv him, Avu Liachazman. In the Gemara, you don't have such a compromise. The Gemara sounds like the Machlekes Rebbe Rav Nosson applies equally in both cases, by Gersh and his Gair Bintayim and the Kotten Shehigdel Bintayim. You have in Pasuk, in Perek Tes, in Pasuk Yudala, V'chiyogir itchem ger v'yasa Pesach Lashem. So one of the Rishonim, I think the Abarbanel, if I'm not mistaken, one of the Rishonim interprets, V'chiyogir itchem ger, If a ger will be nizgar between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, that's how he learns Pshuta Shel Mikra. Then he says he's mechuyev to bring Pesach Sheni. So he reads it into the Chumash, that the Chumash is saying, like Rebbe, that even a ger shen nizgar bintayim is also chayev in Pesach Sheni. Yeah, where did the Netziv get this idea that even if you hold Pesach Sheni is tashlum in the Rishon, you can have tashlum in for a cotton? Usually we say if he was a cotton on Pesach Rishon, he was never nizchayev. So if he wasn't this chayv, he's not mechuyev to make tashlumin. Yes, so this he got from the Rosh in the end of Moed Katan. The Rosh quotes the Maharam Rutenberg. In the days of the Goinim, there was a machlokes, a katan, shehigia lechinuch, a child, a couple of years before Bar Mitzvah, understands, he goes to yeshiva, he goes to cheder, he understands to a certain extent about the mitzvah. So mid the Rabbanan, there's a din of chinuch. You have to see to it that the Kotten observes all the mitzvahs d'oraisa, the mitzvahs d'rabbanan, and even the zivin chinuch and minhagim. He has to shake hoshanis on Hashana Rabbe. It's a Gemara in Gittin, even though hoshanis is only a minig nevim. It's not even a din d'rabbanan. So the Goinim had a machlokes, is there a din of chinuch and avelus? So the psak in Shulchan Aruch is that no. Even though there's a din of chinuch and all the other mitzvahs, there's no mitzvah of chinuch at all on avelus. So if the child, let's say, is a boy, is 12 and a half years old, and a relative dies, his father dies, whatever, so we say, let him go to yeshiva and learn. He doesn't have to observe Shiva. There is a din of chinuch on kri, on ripping kriya, yes, but on nihog avelus, no. If he's upset, so he'll stay home. He won't go to school. But if he's not upset, let him go to school. That's the lashon that they have in Shulchan Aruch. He's not upset over the death of the close relative. Let him go to school and learn a little bit. We paskin, there's no chinuch on avelus. So the question is, what if he becomes bar mitzvah within 30 days of the death of the relative? There's a difference between shmua kroiva and shmua rechoiko. Let's say a person finds out a week or two or three after the relative dies, they tell him the news that his relative died. So he has to observe shiva shloshim. But if he finds out after 30 days passed by already, that's called shmua rechoiko. So shmua rechoiko, the din is ein nehagas alu yamechad bilvad. He only observes one day of shiva, and that's it. He doesn't have to observe any shloshim. And that one day of shiva, we chisel down and we say mitzvah sayam kukuloi. He takes off his shoes for half an hour, and that's it. And you say, after half an hour, you say mitzvah sayam kukuloi. He has to observe anymore. In fact, my father died at the age of 94. He was almost 94 when he died. And he was the youngest of several brothers. So he was an older person, and his older brothers passed away before he did, and he wasn't really in touch with them so much. They didn't live near each other at all. They lived in a different city. So my father told my sister that if she hears that his older brothers died, she shouldn't tell him until after 30 days go by. So he won't have to sit shiva. It's a big tircha. There's no mitzvah to go to notify a person that the relative died and they should sit shiva. If he doesn't know, he's not mechuyev to sit shiva. If it's a son who's going to say Kaddish, then it says the proper thing is to notify him that the parent died, that he should say Kaddish. But if it's a relative who's not going to say Kaddish, then it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not doing him a favor by telling him that the relative died. It's a nuisance. It's annoying to observe avelus. Especially older people, they have enough taking care of themselves that they don't have to sit you. So talk to my sister who took care of my father. She didn't tell him till after was Shmur Rechayka. There's machlekes 30 days passed by since what? 30 days passed by since the person died, or 30 days since he was buried in Kever Yisrael. So we pass on the hakel 30 days after the Misa, even though it's not yet 30 days after the Kvura of Kever Yisrael. Still, I remember there was a case, it was 30 days after the Misa, but when the person died, he had no identification on his body. He died in New York, and they buried him in Potter's Field. So and then when they found out who he was, so then they took him out and they buried him in the family cemetery. So the children found out about it. It was 30 days after the father had died, but it wasn't 30 days after he had a kfura of the Kevi Yisra. But that's the din. That's Shmur Rechayka. When they found out that their father had died, it was 30 days after he had died already. So you only know Egavelus, Yoy Mechad. That's the din. So the Maharam Rutenberg has a chiddush that we assume the halacha, there's no chinuch on avelus. And if the child who's a katan, he's not yet bar mitzvah, finds out within 30 days of the death of the relative, he becomes bar mitzvah within 30 days. Kol zman is a katan, that's, we say a katan is a la bar das, that's not called shmua. When he has the idea, so avelus, if he finds out, he becomes bar mitzvah within 30 days after the death of the parent, the death of the relative, whoever the relative happens to be, then the Maharam Rutmerk says that it's a shmur kreiva, it is muchiv to be noeg avelus. So the Rosh asks the Kasha, why? But the mechayv of avelus is timas agelo, means the gemar hakvura. So at the moment of the gemar hakvura, the child was a katan. And we follow that opinion in the Goyim that there's no chinuch on avelus. So why should there be a chiv to observe later? So the Maharam Rutmerg explains why. He holds that the mechayiv can be chal on a katan to be mechayiv him lachazman. And he proves it from Gemaras. So that's why the Nitzid got that idea from that Maharam Rutmerg quoted by the Rosh, the very last page in the Rosh in Moed Katan, that it's possible to say that even a child who's not bar mitzvah, the chiyuv is chal on the child, liki sheyagdil, that he has the obligation to observe. So even though Yudalid Nissan, the child is a katan, but he can, even if you hold Pesach Sheni is Tashlum and the Rishon, but Yudalid Nissan can be mechayv the katan to bring the Korban Pesach, lacha sheyagdil, to bring it as a Tashlum on Pesach Sheni. Anyway, we pass can even a Gershon is garden time, and that's why I think that Barbana learns that Pasuk Gedal Chayogrit Chamger goes on the Gershon is garden Pesach Rishon and the Pesach Sheni, And that the pasuk is saying, like Rebbe, that a Gershon Hezgar Be'emtza is mechuyev to bring the Pesach Sheni. The Torah says that there are two people who are unable to bring the Korban Pesach. One is Ish Ish, ki yi atomei la nefesh, a person is tomei, so he's not allowed to eat Korban Pesach, o b'derech rechoika. What's the definition of b'derech rechoika? So there's a machlokes hatanoim. So we paskan like the Mishnah in Psochim, that you draw a circle around Yerushalayim, and the radius of the circle is Tezvav Mil. Anyone who is within that circle is called Derech Kreva. Anyone who is outside of that circle, that radius of 15 mil, is called Derech Rechoika. What does that correspond to? What does Tezvav Mil correspond to? So the Gemara explains, and next to the last perik in Maseches Psochim, the last perik is Arvei Psochim, has all the dinim of the Seder. And then the next to the last perik is Misha Hayatame, has all the dinim of Pesach Sheni, a whole perik dedicated to the halachas of Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara explains that Adam Beinoni can travel by foot Tesvav Mil in a half a day. So there's a machlokes, the Rambam and everybody else. The Rambam says the din of Derech Rechoika is established at Alos Hash, at the Hanetzach Hama, in the morning when the sun rises. Where is the person? So if he's more than Tezvav Mil away from Yerushalayim, he will not be able to arrive in Yerushalayim by foot. If he goes by train or by car, he will arrive. But he will not be able to arrive in Yerushalayim if he goes by foot, by Chatzos. And Chatzos is the earliest you can bring the Korban Pesach. Really, you don't bring Korban Pesach till half an hour after Chatzos. But most assume that that half hour after is only Midrabbanan. That's not really a din d'oraisa. So that's how the Rambam learns. Rashi and Tosis learn, no, where is the person at Chatzos? If the person is within this radius, the 15 mil radius at Chatzos, then he will be able to reach Yerushalayim before Shkia. Then he will be able to bring the Korban Pesach. And if he's more than 15 mil away from Yerushalayim, he will not be able to arrive to Yerushalayim before Shkia. So that's called Derech Rechoika. So it's a fundamental machlokes, the Rambam and Tosfos, when is the status of Derech Rechoika established? According to the Rambam, it's established at the moment of sunrise on Yud Dal Nissan. According to Rashi and Tosfos, it's established at Chatzos. Where is the person at the time of Chatzos? This was a big debate among the Talmidim of the Nevi Yehuda in the 1700s. Will it then still be the same during the lifetime of the Nevi Yehuda? That's when they started to have railroads. They figured out how to harness the steam power, and they made railroads. Now the railroads are much better. It's electric, but then it used to be with steam. So the shaila is, why was the din of Derech Rechoika established based on the person traveling by foot? That a person walking by foot in a half a day will be able to travel 15 mil. Is that a halacha Moshe Mitzinai, kach nemar halacha? Or maybe the halacha was because the average traveler would travel by foot. But now that we have trains, the average traveler is no longer going to travel by foot. He's going to go by car, by bus, or by horseback. So maybe now the din should be different. So when Mashiach will come, we'll have a shaila. What's the definition of Derech Rechoika? But it's not relevant now. No, when Mashiach will come, they'll have Tchias HaMesim, so they'll ask Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, but what's the din now? What do you mean, what's the din? It's not relevant now. So the Achronim say, no, it is relevant now. There is a din in Hilchas Avelus, that if the whole family already started, someone died, and the family is sitting Shiva, and one of the close relatives didn't hear yet about the death of the relative, he comes to visit the home. He comes into the home and he sees everybody sitting Shiva. So the Gemara says it depends. If he came in Malkum Karev, if he came from a closer location, then he's butthole to the family. And even though he only arrives on the sixth day, on the seventh day in the morning, as long as they still didn't say Mikzah Seyam Kukula, they didn't call it quits yet. So then we say Mani Mahim. So he starts Shiva with them and he finishes Shiva. He just observes Shiva for half an hour. But if he came in Makam Rachak, if he came from a faraway location, then he's not mitzaref with them, And he has to start Shiva and Shloshim, even though they're finishing their Shiva today, he has to start Shiva and observe everything. So what's the definition of Bamim Makam Korah versus Bamim Makam Rochek? So Tosfos quotes the Rif, who quotes the Rav Haigoin, that it has to do with this din. By Pesach Sheni, it depends on a half a day's traveling, because the din is established, according to Tosfos, the din is established at Chatzos. That's when the Chiyuv to bring the Korban Pesach sets in. So where are you at Chatzos? Can you arrive in Yerushalayim by the time of Shkia? So that's why, so it depends on from Chatzos till Shkia, that's 15 mil. But here by Avelus, it shouldn't depend on a half a day, it should depend on Kam Mahalach Adam Beinini Bayom. So that's 40 mil. That's 10 parsos. Every parsa is 4 mil, so it's 40 mil. So that's what Tosfos quotes from the Rif, B'Shem Rav Haigoin, that's in Shulchan Aruch. So the question is that still a din, this manazeh, that is 40 mil? Or maybe since today, the common practice is most people do not travel by foot. If you're gonna walk a couple of blocks, you go by foot. You're going to go further than that. You take a subway, or you take a train, or a bus, or a car, or something, or a taxi. But then nobody's going to walk by foot. So maybe since today, the average traveler would not travel by foot. Average traveler would go by train or by horseback or something. So maybe it should be a different shear. So what's Taka the Din today? So that was Machlokes among the Talmidim of the Nerdy Behuda. So he said, nope, when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, we'll ask Moshe Rabbeinu what the Din is. And meanwhile, when you get to the Din of Avelus, so we say, Halacha G'dibra Mekel Ba'ovel. Whenever there's a Sofik in Avelus, so we always go Lekula. So we say, whoever was within one day's travel, considering normal travel to the location where the relatives are sitting Shiva, so money imar. So the question is, within one day's travel? Today, you can come from New Zealand. New Zealand, I think, the end of the world. You can come from New Zealand to New York within a day, in less than 24 hours. And the planes travel all day and all night. There's accommodations all the time. So maybe now, because the planes are all landed. But under normal conditions, when the planes are traveling, so you can get anywhere. So Rav Moshe Feinstein said, so there's no longer a din of Derech Rechoika. So we did away with the whole institution of Derech Rechoika. Anywhere in the world is Derech Kroiva. It can't be. The halacha cannot be. If in the Chumash there's an institution of Derech Rechoika, it must be that even after you have airplanes, there's still an institution of Derech Rechoika. So that's where Moshe Feinstein said you have to limit it, even if you want to be Mekel, and say it doesn't depend on walking by foot. The average traveler going by foot, which is only 40 mil a day, even if you say you go by plane, you go by car, it's further, but not from one continent to another. So that's where Moshe was of the opinion that a lot of times someone would go to Eretz Yisrael with the Oran to bury the relative, then he would come back. So because the relatives in America started Shiva a day or two earlier, they start Shiva when they take the Oran on the plane. And the one who went there to sell with the Oran only begins Shiva after the Gemar HaKfura. But if he comes back to sit Shiva with the family, then sometimes there's a din that he's bottled to the rest of the family. So Moshe said, not from Eretz to America, it's a different continent. It cannot be that from one continent to the other, you still have the din of Derech Rechoika. Then you did away with the whole din of Derech Rechoika. It just doesn't exist at all today. So most people don't follow what Rav Moshe said. Anyway, that whole din by Shida, that Bami Makam Korah versus Bami Makam Rochek, is based on this institution of Derech Kroiva, Derech Rechoika. Sometimes I'm in a location and it's considered as if I have a shaychus with a different city, even though I'm not in that city. I don't live in that city. I live in Tel Aviv. But since I'm close enough to Yerushalayim, it's called Derech Kroiva. So I'm mitzarf. Let's say a person is Derech Rechoika. He's more than 50 mil away from Yerushalayim. He calls up on a telephone and he says, I'm going to come by car. I'm going to come by horseback. Bring a Korban Pesach on my behalf. Be meshatef me with other people. I'm going to arrive in Yerushalayim before the end of the day, before Yom Tov comes. But at the time of Chatzais, he was Bederech Rechoika. So the Gemara says he's not even Yotze B'Di'evet. If you're Bederech Rechoika, you can't be Yotze Pesach Rishon, even though you make it before the Shkia. Derech HaChaka is not just because it's impossible to bring the Korban Pesach, even if it is possible. If you be Derech HaChaka, even be the Yevid, you're not Yotzei the Din. So that's why it's an important machlokes. What's the definition of Derech HaChaka b'zman hazeh, that the average traveler will not go by foot, but rather go by train or by bus. The Gemara in Yevamos has a whole sugi, Mem Zayin, Mem Ches, Mem Tes, all the dinim of Geirus. So the Gemara quotes a brisa that Tana Rav Yudah says, and the Amar Rav Yechanan, he didn't know about the brisa. They say, Ger Tzara Shlosha Mishpat Ksidbe, when a person converts, a Nochri converts to become Jewish, has to be done under the auspices of the Bezna of three, because the word Mishpat sounds like a Din Torah of three. So the word Mishpat appears in connection with Ger. So the Rishonim there have a whole debate. Which pasuk is the Gemara referring to? That Ger Tzara Shlosha Mishpat Ksivbe. So some of the Rishonim say it's this pasuk Yudalit, that we mentioned before in Perek Tes, pasuk Yudalit. The Chayogir Itchem Ger Asa Pesach Hashem Kuchukas HaPesach Uch Mishpato Ken Yaaseh. It says it goes on the Mishpat of the Korban Pesach, but some Rishonim say that's the Mishpat that the Gemara was referring to, that the word Mishpat appears in connection with the Ger. We mentioned previously, last week, and maybe a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned a few times, that there is a stunning din that the Tanoim have, Gersh and Isgar Kekotim Shanel Adami. When a non-Jew converts, he becomes Jewish, he's no longer related to his previous relatives. Mid HaTorah, a brother can marry a sister, because Al-Pidin, even though biologically it's a sister, Al-Pidin, it's not a sister. In the Rabbanan, they prohibited it. And then Meikar HaDin, and that's even the Din Halacha L'maaseh, said two brothers who both converted, we can accept the Haggadah Seder. They're not considered brothers anymore. They never even made a Chumrah Midrabanan there. And we mentioned the Din of Yerusha, that Mr. Trump should live Ameh V'Esem Shana, but when he dies, his daughter who converted is not going to get the Yerusha Min HaTorah. The Gemara said Midrabanan, they changed it, that we're afraid she'll want to convert back in order to get the Yerusha. But Min HaTorah, the Din is that the Ger ain't a Yerush HaSavim, because he's not related anymore. So the Chasam Sofer and the Sefer HaNavodah Zarah asked, where in the world did they get this wild idea from? So the Pashta says they got it from Parshas Nasa, the Parsha of Gez LaGer. It says, mainly Ishgoyel, Hakam Chayesh L'chon Misal Shein Lo Krovim, how is that possible? So the Chazal says it's referring to a Ger. Ger Shein Izgar Kotten Shanol Adami. So the Chasam Sofer says, it's not really such a good Raya. Maybe mainly Ishgoyel means we don't know who his relatives are. How do you know that it means he doesn't have any relatives? So the Meiri suggests that the Mokar is this pasuk, because the Meiri in Psachim Adaf Chav Chesam and Beis quotes an opinion that a person who ever worshipped Avodah Zarah in his life, even though he already stopped worshipping Avodah Zarah, for the rest of his life he can participate in Korban Pesach. Called Benecher. Benecher means Mishnak, Mishan Istakra Maisov, Lo'aviv Shabbat Shemaim, one who worshipped Avodah Zarah, even if also Tshuva. Taisa says, not so. Once he does tshuva, he can eat the Korban Pesach. But the Miri quotes a Chachmei HaDor Shalafaneinu. He quotes such an opinion. It doesn't say who it is, Chachmei HaDor Shalafaneinu. That's not a common expression in the Miri, said that. Gedolei HaRabbonim is Rashi, and Gedolei HaMechabrim is the Rambam, and Gedolei HaMasikim is the Ravid. Some of the expressions we know. Gedolei HaDor Shalafaneinu, we're not sure exactly who that is. Some say it's the Rambam, but we don't have any other sources. So the Miri quotes such an opinion. If the person ever worshipped Avodah Zarah, for the rest of his life, he can't participate in Korban Pesach. So he asked the question, how can the Ger bring a Korban Pesach? He probably worshipped Avodah Zarah ben Achri Yuso. So he gives the answer, no, Kekotin Shanala Dome. You learn out from this pasuk, the fact that we permit a Ger to participate in Korban Pesach is a raya that is the din. The Ger Shen is Gayer is considered Kekotin Shanel Adami. Most assume that it's not correct. Most assume Kekotin Shanel Adami doesn't mean that it wipes off the whole past history. It just means he's no longer related in Kurva. The brother and the sister are not related. Men HaTorah, they can get married. The two brothers are not related. They can give Haggadah Seder together. The son doesn't yarsh and the father. It's only din in Kurva. But it's not that he's ani ish acher. If the Nochri borrowed money from the bank and then he converts and he changes his name, instead of being Christopher Gonzalez, now he's Avram, Ben Avram or something. So he still has to pay the money to the bank. You don't say, Ani ish acher. I'm a different person and I'm not the same one. It doesn't wipe off the whole past history. So the Pashtus is, if you don't hold like this Shita in the Meiri, This cannot be the mocker for the din of Kekotin Shinova Adami. Yeah, the Gemara comments, we were learning Chulin this year, so we spent a little time on this Pasuk Yud in chapter 10, Pasuk Daber B'nei Salama, Ish Ish Ki Yetamei, Ish Nitche LePesach Sheni, Vein Atziba Nitchem LePesach Sheni. The Gemara says, only a Yochid is Nitche. The whole Tzibah is not Nitche. So that's the din, that there's an institution of the Pesach Abba Betume. If Raiva B'nei Yisrael, who are B'derech Kreiva, Raiva B'nei Yisrael, Atamei, so then they bring the Korban Pesach with Tumah. How Tameh are they? So Tosis' opinion is any Tumas Maga, as opposed to Tumah Yotzal Migufay. If it's 51% of Klal Yisrael are Tameh, but some of them are Zab Zab and Nidhi Aledis and Mitzayra, then it doesn't count. Only Tumas Maga. And the Rambam's opinion, not all Tumas Maga, only Tumas Meis. They only say Tumas Mutter Bitzibu if the Raif HaTameh is Tameh Tumas Meis, because the Pasuk is talking about Tumas Meis. The Rama fits in and a Pasuk better. But Taisus in the first daf in the beginning of Kol HaBasar, Taisus has a list of various dinim that depend on Tumas Maga versus Tumas Yotzal Migufa. That's what we call Tumas Riya. So Taisus says that this is on the level of Daraisa. Here's a difference between Tumas Maga and Tumas Riya. Torah tells us when Bnei Yisrael were traveling, so there was, in the Midbar, there was an Amud Eish Balaylo and an Amud Onan Bayom. In the beginning of the Parsha, it says, Dabir al Aharon, v'mat elav, Aaron should light the menorah. What do you need? Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. The din is you only need a Kohen Gadol to do the Avodah Yom Kippur. All year long, you don't need a Kohen Gadol. So why does it say that Aaron did the Haktorah, the Hadlokas HaMenorah? So there's a fascinating Sforno. At the end of Chumash Shmos, in the end of Pikudi, if I'm not mistaken, where he suggests that you need a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur because v'chisanan akteres hasakapiris, whenever there's an onan filling the oihel mayed, filling the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then it means that there's a stronger degree of hashuas hashchina, and then you need a Kohen Gadol to do the avodah. So here, the whole time that they were in the Midbar, there was an Anan Eish Balayla, and there was Amud Ha'anan Bayom, and the Amud Ha'anan filled up the oil mayed. So it had the status of a big chiddush. Had the oil mayed, the Mishkan, all the 40 years in the Midbar, the oil mayed had the status of like Yom Kippur. So the Hadlokas HaMenorah and Haktoras Haktoras had to be done by a Kohen Gadol. That's quite a chiddush. Then he says, Lasid Lava, also there's a pasuk like that. Lasi Lovet says the Kohen, some interpret the pasuk in Yenu Yecheskel that the Kohen Gadol will do the Avodah because there'll be a greater Gilui Shechina than there ever was in the Midbar also. Then you have the parsha tells us V'chisavoy Mulchama B'yartzechem Al Atzara Terereschem. So there's a din V'hari Yosem V'chatzoytzus. That's pasuk test in chapter Yud. There's a mitzvah of Tkiyas Chatzoytzus. You have in the Mishnah like that on Rosh Hashanah you blow shofar, and on a Tainas Sibur is when there's an Eis Tzara, they would blow Chatzoytzus. The common practice today is that nobody blows any Chatzoytzus on a Tainas Sibur. Why not? What happened to the din of HaYosem HaChatzoytzus? So the Magen Mishnah has a Chiddush Gadol that this Iker din of Tkiyas Chatzoytzus only applies to Chatzoytzus Shal Migdosh. It's not a din, you're making wrong Chatzoytzus. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a whole discussion, one of his tshuvas about that. Is that really the accepted opinion? Rav Soloveitchik pointed out once in a drasha. He used to give a drasha every year in Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It was called the Kinas Tshuva drasha. So it says, Chisavim Mochama bi'artzachem al atzara ratzara eschem, v'hari yoysem b'chatzoyt, we should blow truas, v'yamsem b'chasem adechem, v'skaitem b'chatzoyt, we should blow tkiyah. What's the difference between a tekiah and a trua? So he pointed out, he said the mukubalim have this. It says in Koheles, Elokim asas Adam Yosher, v'eim abik shel cheshbon esrabim. The Rebbeinu Shlom created man straight. Everybody was created. L'kai neshama shel asat to be tahira. The Rebbeinu Shlom created us all with kedusha and tahara, and we're straight. So the tekiah is a kol pashut, represents Elkimad Asas Adam Yashar.
Your phone, your thing, your calendar. Nefshimi Hoyt's number.
Here,
here.
Here?
Hold on.
Trua, when Vlad Kia, Trua Tkia, saw in Rosh Hashanah is a season of tshuva. So the Pshuta Shalafanahoi, first we blot Kia, that represents Alikim Asas Adam Yasha. Then Vahem Abikshu Cheshbainas Rabim, the human being, sin, Idu Averis. So they chop up their life. They ruin their lives and they break it up into Truas. So the Trua represents the broken soul because people sin. And then the Pshuta Shalachreha, Tkia, Trua Tkia, the second Tkia represents the fact that we can always do Tshuva and return back to the state of Adam Yosher. So that's why he has here in the Chumash, when you have a Muhammad, Muhammad represents that the Muhammad is a punishment man because people are sinning. So that's why you blow true of the Hariyosim Bechad Tzitzis. However, you have some Chasam Adechem, it's a happy occasion, then you blow Tkiah. You really blow Tkiah, true Tkiah. But which is the Iker? Is the Iker the Tkiah? The Iker is the true. So when it's a happy occasion, the Iker is the Tkia, to represent the fact that the man was created straight, Elkim Asas Adam Yosher. And when you have a Taina Sibur, or you have a Muhammad, a sad occasion, then the Iker is really the Trua, to show that we have sinned, and we have ruined our lives. Yeah, when exactly is this? We have some Chaschem of Mayadechem. So there's a famous Sifrei, he has a comment, we have some Chaschem Elu Shabbosis. It refers to Shabbos. In the Mishnayos, you don't have that. In the Mishnayos in Erchen, it tells you when they used to blow chatzaitzis. It says on Yomim Tovim. It doesn't say that they blew chatzaitzis on Shabbos. But that's what it says in the Sifrei. So there's a long discussion in the Stei Chemed, which is an encyclopedia that was written in the early 1900s. We assume that on Yontiv there's a Chiyuv Simcha, on Shabbos there is no Chiyuv Simcha. That's why if one is in the middle of Shiva, one is in the middle of Shloshim, and it comes Yontiv, so Yontiv cancels the Shiva, Yontiv cancels the Shloshim, because Simcha and Navelus are attached to the Sasri. When Shabbos doesn't cancel Shiva, doesn't cancel Shloshim, so Tosfos says, why? Because Shabbos there is no Chiyuv Simcha. There's Kibud V'Yoinig. That's a different thing. Kibud V'Yoinig. One doesn't observe Avelus Bifrahesia on Shabbos because the Pasuk says in Koheles, Birchas Hashem hi ta'ashir v'lo yosif etzev imo. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a bracha, so there won't be any sadness. So it says regarding Shabbos, v'ayvorech alekemos yom ha'shvi'i v'ayikadosh osam. Shabbos is a yom bracha. So because it's a yom bracha, so the Pasuk says, Birchas Hashem hi ta'ashir. It makes people get rich for the Yosef Etzavimah, there won't be any sadness in connection with the Bracha of Shabbos. No sadness means one doesn't observe Avelis Bifrahesed, but it is a day of Avelis, because Shabbos there is no Chi of Simcha. So how does that, that's a question. How does that jive with this Sifrei that says, V'yam Simchascha Me'elu Shabbosim? And in the davening we say Yismuchu B'malchuscha. So why do we say Yismuchu B'malchuscha if on Shabbos there's no Chi of Simcha? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say the name of his father, Achidish, that the Nusach Ashkenaz is that you only say Yismuchu B'malchuscha by Musaf. You don't say it by Ma'ariv or by Shachris or by Mincha. Only Musaf. Why? The Chiyuv Simcha is only a Migdosh. Because on Shabbos there's a Chiyuv to come to the Beis HaMigdosh B'miyuchad to bring the Musaf. And every day of the year you bring a Korban Tam Shashach Tam Shabbein Abayim. But on Shabbos there's a Chiyuv to come to the Beis HaMigdosh to bring the Musafim. So in conjunction with the Musafim, there's a Chiyuv Simcha. So that's why we only, our Minig Ashkenaz is that you only say Yismuchu Malchuscha by Musaf. Nusach Svard is that you say Yismuchu Malchuscha even in Shachris. So Rav Soloveitchik said he's surprised that the Nusach of the Baal HaTanya, somehow the Nusach Svard, he wasn't surprised. But even the Baal HaTanya also left in Yismuchu Malchuscha by Shachris. How can it be? It only belongs to Musaf. That's what he heard from his father. Yasim Chaschem Elu Shabbosim. Because in connection, in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a Chiyuv Simcha. He had this idea, there's such a Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvah. Sounds like he says that there's no Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Chodesh, Chutz LeMikdash. In Mikdash, there was a Chiyuv Simcha. Why? Because on Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara has a discussion in Erech and Daf Yud, the Gemara has a whole discussion, which are the days when one recites Halal Sholem? We recite Chatzi Halal on Rosh Chodesh, that's only a minhag. That's what the Gemara says in the end of Masechus Tainis. It's a minhag that Rab had smicha never heard of until he came to Bavel. He lived in Eretz Yisrael, he got smicha from Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. He never heard of that minhag. He was already a mature adult. When he came to Bavel, so he found that they had such a minhag. But Mikra Adin, you don't recite Halal on Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara asks why. So the Gemara says, why don't you recite Halal on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Shabbos, you don't recite Halal because it's not Ikri Moed. What does it mean? So the Ramban says that in the Sefer Mitzvahs, there's no Chi of Simcha on Shabbos. And Halal is the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, the Simchas Aguf and Simchas HaNefesh. Simchas Aguf is you have Basa B'Yayin, and Simchas HaNefesh, you recite Halal. So the Gemara says, why don't we recite Halal on Shabbos? The Gemara says, no, Shabbos there is no Chiyuv Simcha. Shabbos is lo Ikri Moed. What about Rosh Chodesh is Ikri Moed? Means Rosh Chodesh there is a Chiyuv Simcha. That's what the Torah quotes in the name of the Gaonim, that Rosh Chodesh there is a Chiyuv Simcha. We see from this Pasuk Yud, Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud, and today's Sedra, Yom Simchaschem Adechem Rosh Chodeshim. Rosh Chodesh is put together with the Yom Simchaschem Adechem. You see that on Rosh Chodesh also there's a Chiyuv Simcha. The Gemara says, no, but it's muta basiyas maloch. Rosh Chodesh muta basiyas maloch. So the Ramban says, what the Gemara, what does Halal have to do with asiyas maloch? Many hold that the Mechaber Paskins, that the Yisra Malach is Chalamoid, is only with the Rabbanan, and you still say Halal Shalom every day of Sukkis. So even though there's a muta basiyas maloch, but you still say Halal Shalom. So just because Rosh Chodesh is muta basiyas maloch, why shouldn't you say Halal? So the Ramban explains, the Ramban and the Sefer Mitzvah explains, what it means is that the relevance of the Kedushas Rosh Chodesh is only in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not relevant chutz le Beis HaMikdash. Meaning that the Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Chodesh is only in the Beis HaMikdash. Chutz le Beis HaMikdash, there's no Chiyuv Simcha. So based on that, that's what Moshe Soloveitchik said, Yom Simchas Me'elu Shabbosim, on Shabbos there's a Chiyuv Simcha in Mikdash. The Simcha comes whenever you have to be lifnei Hashem. So on Shalosh Regalim, there's a chiyuv to be oyle regel. Ismachtam lifnei Hashem alakechem. When a person is lifnei Hashem, then he's in the state of simcha. When a person is far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's the state of atzvus. So that was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's suggestion. Yes, mechasim elu shabbosim. That means in Mikdash there's a chiyuv simcha on the shabbosim. You put a lot of things in order. Got to find our reciting of Yalav Yavoi. Yalav Yavoi Zichonenu Figdanenu on Rosh Chodesh and on Yamim Tovim is based on this pasuk Yud. Yom Simchas Chumiskaitam Chatzot says, V'nizkar Voy Lacham Lezikaron Lefnei Elokechem. On Yer Shem Elokechem. Because it says Voy Lacham Lezikaron. That's why I say Yalav Yavoi Zichonenu. Yom Rosh Chodesh is there, or Yom Chag HaMatzis is there. On Shabbos, you don't say Yalav Yavoi, Pashtas, because there's no Tkiyas Chatzotz. It's based on the Mishnayis. The Sifrei says that there is, if you have Simchas Me'elu Shabbosim. But the Mishnayis and Erechen seem to not to follow that opinion. So that was a big shaila. When you say Yalav Yavoi, let's say Rosh Chodesh Chodesh B'Shabbos, and you dab a Musaf. Or let's say Yontav Shechalias B'Shabbos, and the bracha is going to be Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Hazmanim. When you say Yalav Yavoi B'Yom Chag HaMatzis Hazeh, B'Yom Shavuos was on Shabbos, you say B'Yom Chag HaShavuos Hazeh, you say B'Yom HaShabbos HaMerech Hazeh, B'Yom Chag HaShavuos Hazeh, he mentioned Shabbos also on Yalav Yavoi or not. So the Ramos says, he quotes from the Maharil that the meaning of the Balei HaTosfos was that they did say, when it was Yontav Shechalias B'Shabbos, and they're going to say in the Chasim and Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Hazmanim, so when they said Yalav Yavoi, they would mention not only the name, the day of the Yontav, they would say also B'Yom HaShabbos HaMelech Hazeh, B'Yom Chag HaShavuos Hazeh. The Mishnah Berurah says that we don't have this minig anymore, but the Balei HaTosfos held that you're mechuyev to. So the Mefarshim on the Siddur ask Kasha, since when do you mention Shabbos in the middle of Yalav Yavoi? Yalav Yavoi is based on Pasuk Yud in chapter Yud. And only goes on Yom Tov and doesn't go on Shabbos. If you don't follow that Sifrei, Sifrei says Yom Simchas Mishabbos. So that's what some suggest. That's a big machlekes. When you have Shabbos and Yom Tov on the same day, do they blend in to be one Kedushas Hayom? But he say no, it's a Kedushas Yom Tov superimposed on top of Kedushas Shabbos, but they don't blend in to be together one Kedushas. If you say they blend in together, so it's Shabbos, Yom Tov together. So then the Shabbos is also part of the Mechayiv of to say, Bohe Lechem Lezikaron. But if they really are unrelated, one Kedusha Zahim superposed on top of the other, then you have a good question. Why should anybody hold that you mention Shabbos in the middle of Yalav Yoba? When we go a little further in the Parsha, in Perikyud Pasuk Lamed Hey, you have Shishi. So Rashi has a comment. You have the Nunim Hafuchim here. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim. The Nunim Hafuchim ala hafzeh bein poronus li poronus. That the phrase in Pasuk Lamedalad, Benosam bin Amachana, has the connotation that the Bnei Yisrael were at Har Sinai, and then they couldn't take it anymore. They ran away from Har Sinai Kitina Kaparech Mebeis HaSefer. Like young children, when there's recess, so they run out of the class. Even though the Rebbe is teaching Chumash, he's teaching Mishnah, he's teaching Mar, the children run away. So the Bnei Yisrael were adults, but they ran away. Benosam and Amachna, they ran away from Maimon Hasina. So that's Puranus. So we have a meaning that we don't start the Rendon Aliyah with a Dova Ra. We always start the Rendon Aliyah with a Dova Toiv. So some of the Achranim say that they have printed in the Chumash Ishi, it really shouldn't be over here. It really should have been a little before. Pasuk Chavtes, somewhere over there, should have been somewhere else. Shouldn't be over here. Then the Gemara has a machlokes Hatanaim, Pasuk Lamed Hey and Pasuk Lamed Vav. These two psukim have 85 letters. Pei Hey Oisias. We paskin that these two psukim, these 85 letters, are sefer bifnei atzmai, and they are not really chamisha chumshi Torah, and there's no such thing as a chumish. Chumish means a fifth. They're really seven. Seven Sforim in the Chumash, because Bamidbar is divided into three. Chumash Bamidbar up until Vayibin Sohar, and is one Sefer. These two Psukim, 85 letters, are another Sefer. And from the next Pasuk, chapter Yud Aleph, that's a third Sefer. Based on the Pasuk in Mishle, Chachmas Bansa Besa Chotzva Amudeh HaShiva. The seven pillars of the Chachma are the seven Sforim in the Chumash. Can't even call it a Chumash anymore. It's not Chamisha Chumshe Torah, it's really Yeshiva Sforim in the Torah's Moshe. Yeah. Usually in between Bereshis and Shmos, in between Shmos and Vayikra, you have four blank lines in the Sefer Torah. Here, you just have the Nunim Hafuchim, you don't have the four blank lines, but we paskin la'alocha that it's a Sefer Bifnei Atma. How do you know that we paskin like that? Because the Mishnayis have a din, let's say you have a Sefer Yoshua, you have a Sefer Shoftim. So the din is that it has its metame sayadim, it has a kedushas Torah shebichsav. What if so many letters are erased, so many letters are missing, that you don't even have 85 letters on the klaf? So it's no longer metame sayadim. It doesn't have a din of a kedushas sefer. Where they get the magical number? What's the gematria of 85 letters? So the Tanaim say the smallest sefer in Tanakh is these two psukim, lamed hey and lamed vav, hey mitzahor and vinucha yaymar, that this constitutes a sefer bifnei atzmai. So you see that we pass on la locha like that, that these pei hei oisias are a sefer bifnei atzmai. What's so significant about these two psukim that they deserve to be considered a sefer bifnei atzmai? So I had a suggestion. I don't know if I heard much of it from Absalvechik. Maybe he said the suggestion also. I don't know. He always used to speak at the Mizrahi conventions. They printed Chamesh Drashot. That was five out of, but there were more than five. He gave more than five drushes. There was those were knockout drushes. So one of the drushes that they printed, he wrote it himself in Yiddish. He wrote the drushes in Yiddish. They were printed first in Yiddish, and then somebody translated it. But when they were delivered, they were very powerful. So the loshen that he said was, if I would have been the Rambam, I would have written a 14 tani mamen, not just 13 on mamens. I would have written a 14 on the mamen, that the Torah and the mitzvahs make sense in every generation, in every society, in every continent. The Torah travels around by human soul, and this maybe is the Sefer Bifnei Atzmai. Torah travels from continent to continent, from city to city. Wherever the Jewish people are and they observe the Torah in the midst, everything makes sense in every society. That's about the Torah, the Jewish people traveling with the Torah from country to country. So I thought maybe that's the idea. What are the Nunim Hafuchim? Nunim Hafuchim. So there is a normal medrash that's called Yalkut Shimoni that was put together in the days of the Rishonim. It's a likud from different Bavli, Rishalmi medrash, Rabban medrash, Tanchuma, different midrashim. Then there's a Yalkut Torah Uveini. That's a collection of midrashi pliya, strange, irregular midrash. So on these psukim, Dr. Lam once said over in a meeting of Rabbeim, he mentioned this, that the nun is a fish in Aramaic. And nunim hafuchim means the fact that a fish can swim against the tide. The fish swims against the tide. And the Gemara says that represents the Jewish people, that we're always swimming against the tide, wherever we go. The whole world is gone. Avram Avinu is called Avram HaIvri. Why call Olam Kula Me'ever Echud? Who Me'ever Hasheni? Avram Avinu is fighting with the whole world. They're all worshiping Avodah Zarah, and he's the monotheist, and he's preaching monotheism to all the nations of the world. So the Nunim Hafuchim means the fish that can swim against the tide. The Gemara has a Maseches Avodah Zarah. The Gemara talks the dinim of kashrus of fish, a dinit snapa v'kaskes, as appears in Chulin, in Perikei L'Treifus. But a little bit is in the middle of Maseches Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says that all of the fish in a certain river are all kosher because there's such a strong tide, and the fish have the ability to swim against the tide. For that, they need a strong backbone. If you don't have a strong backbone, the fish will be killed because they're swimming against the tide. So the Gemara says only kosher fish that have kaskeses. If you have kaskeses, that protects the body. Strictly speaking, even if you only have one kaskeses on the whole body of the fish, it's already enough to be kosher. But the Gemara means, in principle, if the whole back of the fish, the whole skin of the fish is covered with kaskasot, then it'll protect it from the water. So the kosher fish, the Gemara, kosher fish have a backbone, and they have the ability to swim against the tide. So that represents the Jewish people traveling in all the different cultures, all the different societies. We always observe our Torah, and we're always like this fish swimming against the tide. The Jews are always going against the tide. That's Avram HaIvri, the Hebrews. When you write Hebrew also, you write English, you write from left to right. You write Hebrew, you write from right to left. I'm so late, you pointed out that there's a Havdalah HaNikeres, and there's a Havdalah. This was a drosha. This was a drosha from Rav Meir Shapira they attributed to, but he said it in the name of Rabbi Reines. Reines was one of the founders of the Mizrahi movement. So it's more famous that it's from Rav Reines, that we talk about Havdalah Samav, the Mekarusul Chor Ben Olacher, Shabin Yisrael, Amin Ben Yamashri, the Sheshi, Samei Ama Aseh. So there's a Havdalah HaNikeres, Samav, the Ben Olachoshech. Even the plants know the difference between an Arach Oshach. In the daytime, they give off oxygen. In the nighttime, they give off carbon dioxide. They take in oxygen. And the animals know the difference between Yom HaLayla. The plants know the difference between Yom HaLayla. Then you have Avdolah Shein and Yikeres. How can you tell the difference? How can you tell by looking at something whether it's Kodesh or Chol? How can you tell? You look at the Beis HaMikdash, you can tell whether it's Kodesh or Chol. That's Avdolah Shein and Yikeres. You have to be, an act to be able to look. So the question was, what about the Avdolah of the Jewish people? Is that supposed to be a Avdolah and Yikeres? Well, no, it can be a Havdalah Shein and Ikeris, like the Havdalah Ben Kodesh Lachol. So Rav Soloveitchik, so the drosha of Rav Reines was that the Rabban Shalom wants the Havdalah, Ma'avda Ben Yisrael, Umma Soilim, should be a Havdalah HaNikeres. He wanted it to be a Havdalah. Guys, he continued to give a whole drosha. So Rav Soloveitchik said that he used to travel back and forth between Boston and New York every week to give the shir on Tuesday and Wednesday and go back home to Boston on Wednesday afternoon, and 3-4 weeks in a row, he sat next to the same person. He didn't even know the person was Jewish. Then after 3-4 weeks, he realized not only is he Jewish, he learns Daf Yomi every day. Clean-shaven man. You couldn't tell. He said, in Europe, you can tell. A religious Jew had a beard. He had payas. He had tzitzis. He dressed like a Jew. He had a sad face, a serious face. He said, in America, it's a Havdalah Shein HaNikeres. He can't even tell at all. He said, it's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be a Havdalah HaNikeres. He should be able to tell the difference. He gave a whole drasha about that theme. It's supposed to be a Havdalah HaNikeres. Anyway, so that could be that that's the Nunim Hapuchim, that the Jews are like the fish that swims against the tide. I remember when we were touring in Italy, so we were in Rome. So they said, everybody visits the Vatican Museum, even though you have to pay admission, and a certain percentage of the money goes for the upkeep of the Vatican. So maybe that's considered that you're supporting Avodah Zarah. So I didn't want to go, but the tour guide told us that all the Jewish organizations, even the religious Jews, everybody goes. He doesn't know why, but it's not a shaila. Okay. So when we came there to the Vatican Museum, so we asked them, do we have to go through any church? Because we're Orthodox Jews and we're not allowed to go through a church. So he was thinking for a moment and then he says, no, you don't have to go any church. So they had to go on the whole tour. The whole tour is a sheer waste of time. There's nothing to see. If he would have told them in advance, a day or two in advance that we're coming, they would have arranged that we would see they have manuscripts of the Rambam, manuscripts of other Svarim. They have valuable things there. But you just walk in from the outside. They're not prepared for you, so then you know it's not worth seeing. They have statues of all the emperors and all the generals and the army. Nothing interesting at all. So finally, after wasting quite a bit of time there, so we're about to leave the building. So the only way to leave the building is to go walk through the Sistine Chapel, which is a church where they still pray every day out of Yom HaZeh. So we turned to the tour guide. We said, but we asked you in advance whether you have to walk through a church. He said, he forgot all about that. The only way to walk out of the building is to walk through the Sistine Chapel. So instead of walking out the way we're supposed to, the exit, we walked backwards. Everybody was coming in the entrance, and the Orthodox group, our group of 50 people, we were like the fish swimming against the tide. Everybody was coming into the building. We were walking out the entrance to the building. That's like Avraham Avinu, Avraham HaIvri. The whole world has gone in one direction. The Jewish people gone in the other direction. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. The Havdalah of the Bnei Sos, Havdalah HaNikeres, he said he was once sitting waiting in the airport and he was writing the drasha that he was going to deliver in New York, and he was writing in Hebrew. So somebody was watching him, facing him, and waiting in the waiting room in the airport, and his eyes were popping out, and he comes and he asked him, what language are you writing? That you're writing from right to left. He told him he's writing Hebrew. So he said, even when you're buying your own business in the airport and you're just writing notes, they can tell right away it's a Havdalah HaNikeres. I once had such an experience. I was writing notes. I was also in an airport. I was going to go speak on Hoshana Rabbah in Toronto. So I was writing some of the notes in English, some of the notes in Hebrew. So the fellow opposite me was wondering, what language are you writing that you write from right to left and left to right? So I told him, said, Tzvei Dinim, I'm writing two different languages. So he said, you don't get confused? I said, no, you don't get confused. You know both languages, you don't get confused. Anyway, these are the Nunim Hapuchim. It represents a Sefer Bifnei Atzmai.
Ready?
Yes.
So Rav Soloveitchik thought the Tzura of a Yid should be to grow out the beard and have payas?
The Tzura of a Jew should be, you should be able to recognize that he's a Jew. It should be a Havdalah HaNikeres, some way or the other. You wear tzitzis, you say, you look at the person's face and should be able to tell that he's Jewish.
But he thought that Bachrim should be clean shaven?
They can be clean shaven, but they should be noticeable that they're B'nai Torah. You can tell, even if a person is clean shaven, he looks like a Jew. You can still tell the difference. In this pasuk, Menucha Yoyim, Shiva Hashem, Rivivus Alpha Yisrael. So the Gemara has a famous comment in Baba Kama, Ein Ashchina Shor Al Yisrael, unless you have 22,000 Jews. Rivivus, Rivivus is 10,000. Rivivus is plural, is 20,000. Alpha is plural. So it's 22,000 Jews. The Shechina will only be Shor if you have 22,000 Jews. So I think they say at the time of the Balfour Declaration, there are 22,000 Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. Something like that. The Gemara considers that as a significant number regarding the population. Then the famous pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu sees the people were bechal mishpachosav. Everybody was complaining. In pasuk yud, chapter yud, alapa vishmosh, and some bechal mishpachosav. They were complaining. They were complaining about the man. The man tasted delicious. They were complaining all day and all night. All they eat is man and man. They don't like it. So Rashi quotes the famous comment. They were complaining about the fact that they were given more arayas than before. Before Matan Torah, the list of prohibited marriages was much shorter. And after Matan Torah, the list of forbidden relatives is much longer. So they were complaining about that. So that's the famous comment that the Maharal in Prague has. But the Menat Torah, the Din is Gersh, and this guy Kukot Nishanol Adami. So what were they complaining about? And the Gzerim of the Rabbana probably was not yet made in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was Mutar Menat Torah, it was Mutar Menat Rabbanan also. So it would appear from the Pasuk that Gersh and this guy Kukot Nishanol Adami does not apply to the Gerus of Maharal Hasina. That's what we spoke about on different occasions. Why not? Why did that apply? But the Maharal in Prague has the mocha from this pasuk, Boichon and Mishpachos, or at least came Mishpachos. The Gemara in the first daf in Reb Lezer de Mila, daf Kuf Lamed Amar Aleph in Gemara Shabbos, Gemara says, Kol mitzvah shekibla aleim b'simcha, adayim mekayimim masa b'simcha. When the mitzvah b'smila was given to Avraham Avinu, so he was happy about it. He was mekayim b'simcha, so the Jewish people still observed the mitzvah b'simcha. But the arayas that they were complaining about, so there's always lek ksuba de la rabbi in the Betigra. At every wedding, there's always a fight about something. There's always some kind of a fight. Why? Because they were bechal mishpachos, they were belly aching about the laws of marriage, about Ebenezer. So that's why it was always a problem. That's the Gemara, Kuf Amen Amaral. So there's a famous story about the two brothers who became mechutarim, their children married each other. The Rebbe Reb Shmelkel from Nikolsburg, he was a Talmud of the Mezvicha Magi, who was a Talmud, the outstanding Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. And his brother was the Baal Hafloa. The Hafloa was the rabbi in Frankfurt. According to the Hasidic version, the Hafloa was also a Chosid. It was also a Talmud of the Mezvicha Magi. And B'mikre, they both became rabbanim in Yekeshe communities. The Hafloa became a rabbi in Frankfurt. And the Rebbe Reb Shmuel became a rabbi in Nikolsburg. Nikolsburg is in Austria or something. A quirk. The two Chassidish tzaddikim became rabbanim in Yekeshe communities. So their children married each other. So they say at the wedding, one of them held a drush, and so he said, the Chazal have a comment that there's always a machlokes by every wedding. Lekeksu b'delerami b'tigra. And he gets along so well with his brother, he doesn't have any machlokes, but he wants to pick a fight now. He has a machlokes with his brother. So I hold that I got the better half of the deal in the shidduch, because my brother is a bigger tzaddik and a bigger talmud chacham. And the brother disagrees. He says, no, I got the better half of the deal, because my brother, the mechutin, is the bigger tzaddik and the bigger talmud chacham. So that's a nice idea if you have to speak at a shavuot bracha. So you say the couple should fight for the rest of their lives. Who had the better half of the deal? Each one should say, I got the better half of the deal. That's a begabba dika machlekes to have. Then the Rebbe Shlom tells Moshe Rabbeinu, as for Lishiv and Mish, Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's too much for me. I can't take care of all these people. Too much trouble. He covered me many. So Rebbe Shlom tells him, as for Lishiv and Mish, gather together a Sanhedrin of 70, and they will help you. They will help you lead the nation. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out there's another parsha of Sanhedrin in Parshas Shoftim. Kibal mim chadav al mishpat bein dam ledam in dibei luvis v'shech v'kamta v'alisa l'amokim go to the best on Gorl, whatever they pass in his binding. So he pointed out, it's printed in the Yortzeit Roshes, I think this is the first Yortzeit Rosh, that it would appear that there are two dinim of Bezna Gorl. One is that they are the Supreme Court, and paskening all the shahs, they have the final say. And once they give a psak, no one's allowed to pasken against them. That's the institution of Zaka Mamre. And here it's a different status. There's not Godel, Azikne Ha'om, the Shoitrov. They represent Asklal Yisrael. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Rambam writes in the Perek Aleph in Hilchos Trumas that all the mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael only apply min HaTorah in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael means Eretz Yisrael means that the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael is Kibush Rabim. And Kibush Rabim, the Rambam has two different definitions. In One is in Perakalab Milchas Trumas, and one is, where's the other one? Hilchas Malachim. The Rambam talks about the Melech conquering areas. So in one place he describes Kiddush Rabim, the area was conquered on behalf of Klal Yisrael, Midas Rab Yisrael, on behalf of Klal Yisrael. The other place he writes, it was conquered under the auspices of the Sanhedrin. So why didn't he put the two conditions together? Why in one place he writes one condition, Midas Rab Yisrael, the other place he writes under the Muhammad was under the auspices of the Bez Nagolim. So he said, no, it's not two different conditions. It's the same. The Muhammad has to be Midas Rab Yisrael. The conquest has to be with the approval of Klal Yisrael, but you don't have to take a poll every time by the Tzibur. Whenever you have the approval of the Bez Nagoro, that's considered like Congress represents the Das HaKol. So the Bez Nagoro represents Das HaKol also. So you saw that there were several halachas like that that depend on Bez Nagoro, not Bez Nagoro as the posek, as the final authority, the Supreme Court for paskening, but rather Bez Nagoro as representing Klaus. So he gave a whole shiur that Kiddush HaChodesh and Nibra Hashana, according to the Rambam, has to be done by the Bez Nagoro. It's not Bez Nagoro the posek, but it's Bez Nagoro is representing Klal Yisrael. The end of the parsha, the Rabban Shalom is angry at Bnei Yisrael. Why they're complaining about the man? The man was delicious. So the man was, they all recognize that it's Lechem Min HaShemayim. In the Slav, it says in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, in Perikid Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, that's the second Pasuk in Shvi, Vayogas Salvim Min Hayam, this love, the fowl that came from the yam. So this was a big mistake that the people made. Tzaddikim realized that Parnassa is Min HaShemayim. Parnassa is always Min HaShemayim. And the people who don't realize that, that's like the mon is Lechem Min HaShemayim. Lechem Min HaShemayim means Parnassa is really Min HaShemayim. That's the Gemara, the first half in Tainus has, that there are certain keys, certain maftechas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give over to the hands of Shluchim, to the Malachim, and he takes care of it himself. So one of the Maftechas is the Maftech of Parnassa. Gishomim, in Parnassa, the same thing, the Gemara says. So the Rabban Shalom personally takes care of Parnassa. So if people would realize that Parnassa is Min HaShemayim, they wouldn't have the attitude of cheating a little bit, working on Shabbos and Yontif, or cheating from someone else to steal from the other person to do Asogaz Gbul. If Parnassa is Min HaShemayim, right? So in HaShemayim, if I deserve it, they'll give me the parnasa, I'll work hard, they'll give me. But if you have the attitude, the mistaken attitude, by yoga salt and min ayam, that it comes b'der hateva. When you have a yam, then you're going to have slav there. So then all terrible things are going to happen. So that's why in recent years, the whole reform movement and the whole, all of the secular Jews, they lost this significant Iker and Amunah, the Parnassa is Min HaShemayim, and they had the attitude that all the mitzvahs of the Torah are blocking us from getting ahead in life. If we wouldn't have to observe the mitzvahs, we'd be able to, we would be free to make a better living and lead a more pleasant life. So everything came from the Vayisavu Taiva, because they had a desire to enjoy more Olam Hazeh. The Rebbe Shlomo wants us to enjoy Olam Hazeh, but with restrictions, with limitations. In Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes that there's a Midas Chassidus to recite Parsha Salmon every day to ingrain this idea in our minds, to remember all the time that Parnassa is Min HaShemayim. So we won't have a desire to cheat in business or to Mechal Shabbos and Yontif. That's not the way to get more Parnassa Min HaShemayim. Yeah, the Gemara in Chulin talks about how do you know that fish don't need shechita? How do you know that fowl needs shechita? That's a machlekes hatanoim. Machlekes Rishonim had a pasuk where the shechita la'if is min haTorah midrabban. So Moshe Rabbeinu says in pasuk Chabes, "Atzan abak yishochet lehem matzalehem kol digay ayam yosef lehem matzalehem." He only says he shochet with respect to tzan abakar. Respect to Dogim, he says, Ye Yosef, you see, Asifa bi Alma, you don't really need Yishochet. Doesn't mean that you have to have a Jewish fisherman catching the fish, and catching the fish is like Asifa Sezui Shchitosai, and if it's caught by a non-Jew, then it's like an Avela. So there was such an idea, they quote from Rav Sadi God, but we don't hold the Beis Yosef quotes that. We don't hold like that. We hold Fish don't eat shechita, period. It's not that they are sifa. And if you catch a fish that already died in the water, you didn't kill it by pulling it out of the water, it's still going to be kosher. Basifa b'yam yon yitshchita. And oif is a machlok is satanai, where the yitshchita loif min ha-Torah, yitshchita loif is only mid rabbanon. And the Rosh in the end of Yuma has a machlok is some shown in Paschal like that. And shechita loif min ha-Torah, but shechita loif is only mid rabbanon. Then the Pasuk tells about when Moshe Rabbeinu had to choose the 70 zekenim, yes, of Shivim Ish b'ziknei ha'am. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the outside men are Ruach HaShem Alecha, the Ruach HaNevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu had was Chal on the Shivim zekenim also, but Elder Meidot were not there. And nonetheless, they had independent Koach HaNevuah, not from the Ruach and the Ruach HaKodesh that Moshe Rabbeinu had was Chal on them. So that's why there's a difference. It says that Shivim Zekenim who were there by Snab Lo Yosafu, Sirashi quotes, and Snab Elos Ayon Bilvad. They only had Nevuah that day and that was all, because their Nevuah was from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Yotzatim Min HaRuach HaShir Alecho. 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 They had independent Nevuah. So it lasted even after that one day. It lasted for a longer time. So there's an interesting hesped that was delivered by Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolius. One of the Gedolim passed away, so he spoke about the section in Sefer Melachim when Eliyahu and Elisha were walking together, and Eliyahu Navi tells Elisha that a fiery chariot comes down from heaven, and he says he's going to go up to heaven. So he's Elisha requested whether he can give him a Eliyahu should give him a bracha. He should get pishnai beruchacha. He should get twice the karech hanavua of Eliyahu Hanavi. Some of the conservatives interpreted pishnai means 2/3 of the karech hanavua, but that's not what the Gemara understands. So they interpreted that the b'chor gets pishnai means the b'chor gets 2/3 of the whole Yerusha. In later generations, the rabbis decided it's not fair, and they changed it that pishnai just means he gets as if he were two children. So if there are 10 sons, the b'chor gets 2/11. Instead of dividing in 10, he divided in 11, and b'chor gets 2/11. So they claim that the din originally was that the b'chor gets 2/3 of everything, and the rabbis later changed it. So they're just like the rabbis had a right to change, we have the right to change also because we're also rabbis. In Parshat Pshat, the Chazal don't see that anything was changed over here. Pishnaim always meant double portion. He gets like two sons, and Pishnaim over here means Elisha Anobi requested double the Kerch and the Vuah of Eliyahu Anobi. Aitzel Chutzpah, but that's what he asked. And the Gemara said, how is it fulfilled? Because in Tanakh, you read, Eliyahu Anobi was Mechaya one ace, and Elisha was Mechaya two ace. That's how the Gemara says. So what did Eliyahu Anobi tell Elisha? So he tells him, when I will go up in the fiery chariot, if you will remain conscious throughout, then your request will be granted, you'll have Pishnai. But if you will faint and you'll become unconscious, then apparently your request will not be fulfilled. Why should it depend whether he remains conscious or he faints? So Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolius interpreted that it's based on this parsha over here. He said, after Eliyahu Navi went in the fiery chariot, he went up to heaven, so the other Bnei Hanavim, the other Talmidim who are learning, they were practicing Nevuah by Eliyahu Navi, they all fainted. And they were looking for Eliyahu Navi, they're looking, he's hiding somewhere. Elisha told him, he went up to heaven, he's not here anymore. They didn't know what was going on. And Elisha did not faint. Elisha remained conscious the whole time. So that was what Eliyahu Navi told him. If you will faint, you will lose your consciousness, means that your Chorech HaNevuah is only from me. So then you can't exceed me. You won't be able to be twice as great as me. But if you will not faint, and that, like all the other Bnei Hanavim, if you will not faint, you will remain conscious. That shows that you have an independent Kerech HaNevuah, not by Yotzim and Ruach HaShor Alai, by Yoshev Aleihem. So then I give you a bracha that your request should be granted. So since he didn't faint, so his request, he gave him a bracha that it was fulfilled. He got taka pishayim beruch. So he mentioned before the Haftarah, the simple connection between the Haftarah and the Parsha is that the Parsha begins with the mitzvah of the menorah, and the Nevuah, he sees a gold menorah. But there's a menorah zav kula begula roshan son. But there's a much more significant connection. At the end of the parasha, we read that Moshe Rabbeinu was Pirish Ben Ho'isha, and Aaron and Miriam thought that it was out of arrogance. And the Chumash says, Moshe Rabbeinu, Anav Miyad, Mikol Anav Shal Pnei Adam. He wasn't arrogant at all. They thought that they're on the same level of the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu. He never told them he's on a much higher level. And he was taught by Kodesh Baruch Hu to be Pirish Ben Ho'isha. The Baruch Hu told him, Atapa Mori Modi, Shuvah Lecham Mi'alech, Atapa Mori Modi, everyone else can go back to their wives. You have to stay here, you're not allowed to go back. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Aaron and Miriam on that occasion that there's an institution of the Nevuah, but Moshe Rabbeinu is Adon HaNavim. Lo Ken Abim, Moshe B'chol Beis, and then who is a higher level of Nevuah. So the Rambam has this as two different Ikarim and Amunah. One, we believe in Nevuah. Number two, we believe Moshe Rabbeinu is Adon HaNavim. So the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim has a whole arichas on that. And in Mishnah Torah, the Rambam has it also in the Sadi HaTorah. As well, Perik, where he draws up, he points out the four differences between the Vos Moshe Rabbeinu and that of the other prophets. And and in the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam quotes the Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Vos was Bas Begloria HaMeira, and that of the other Nevi'im was Bas Begloria Shein HaMeira. So if you look in Rashi, on the beginning of Zechariah, Rashi writes, "Mol the Sifrei HaTanach, Zechariah is the most obscure. We don't understand one word, what's going on in the world of Zechariah. If you don't have a tradition from the Midrashim or from the Gemaras, what's going on?" That's the opening Rashi on Zechariah. So here also, he has a Nevuah of two olive trees, and the olives are falling down and falling into a contraption and getting squeezed out by themselves and making a big puddle of olive oil. And the olive oil is separating from the puddle of 49 different streams. And seven streams of oil are flowing into each one of the seven containers of the menorah. And he says to the Malach HaDoibabi, what is this supposed to represent? And he tells me, you know, Alo Yadaita Adon. He says, no, Alo Yadaita. Finally tells him, we still don't understand what it represents. So in the next parak there, after this, in Zechariah, the Malach explains to him, the two olive trees represent Shnibinei HaYitzahom, Dim Lefnei Hashem, represents the two people, HaMashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, represents Malchus Beis David, have Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, and the Kohen Gadol has Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. But in the Bai Sheni, there was no Malchus Beis David, zero, and they had Kohen Gadolim, but they were Merubah B'Gadim. Because they were going as the Shemin HaMishcha, Yoshua HaMelech was going as the Shemin HaMishcha at the end of the Bais Rishon period. So there wasn't a Shemin HaMishcha to speak of at all in the Bais Sheni. So there weren't Shnei B'nei HaYitzah. So what is the whole thing talking about? So that's where Akaim explained. I'm showing you a vision of the Bais HaShlishi. He's not showing a vision of the Bais HaSheni. That's Rav Chaim interpreted. The Kedusha Shnia was not Al Yedei Kibush. Kedusha B'Shoyin in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun was Al Yedei Kibush. So the Rambam explains in Hilchas Beis Abchira, when the Babylonian armies conquered Eretz, so took it away from the Jewish people, so the Kedusha was undone. Kedusha was destroyed because Kedusha rested on Kibush. So it was undone when the Kibush was taken away. But the Kedusha Shnia, the 70 years of Golus Babel, Eretz, so didn't have Kedusha. Then after the 7 years, when the Kasha saw the second time, it wasn't Bechel and Bekoyah, it was Kim Beruchiak. The Rambam says, Oledei Chazoke, means something other than Kibush. So since it wasn't Kibush, it wasn't undone. So the Kedusha Shnei was Kitchel Osilom. So that's why we assume that the Bais Sheni was not a Hemshech of the Bais Rishon. After the Churban Bais Rishon, the Churban Haaretz, all Kedusha Haaretz was Batla. Even though the Rambam holds that Kedusha Samigdash was Le Batla, but the Kedusha Haaretz was Batla. So when they built the Bais Sheni, it was anew, everything was anew, and the Bais HaShlishi is going to be a Hemshech of the Bais HaSheni. So the vision that he shows him, the Shnei B'nei HaYitzah, the two olive oil men, means the Melech and the Malchus Beis David, and the Kohen Gadol is going to have Mashiach B'Shem HaMishcha, that's a vision of the Bais HaShlishi, which will be a Hemshech of the Bais Sheni. The Bais Sheni was not a Hemshech of the Bais Rishon. That's Gemara in Perikel and Megalchan, the third Perik and Moed Kutten, So the Gemara interprets a pasuk in the end of Yecheskel that the Kohanim who came back in the beginning of the Bais Sheni, who already had, they already brought a Minchas Chinuch in the Bais Rishon. They were Bar Mitzvah in Bais Rishon. Then 7 years go by, and now they're 85 years old, and they came to the Bais Sheni, so they needed a new Minchas Chinuch. Are they ready brought a Minchas Chinuch in the Bais Rishon? No. Bais Sheni is not a Hemshach of the Bais Rishon. But the Bais HaShlishi is a Hemshach of the Bais HaSheni. There's nobody who's still alive in the Bais Sheni period. There's no one alive over 2,000 years old. But if theoretically someone would be alive, they probably wouldn't need a new Minchas Chinuch because Bais HaShlishi is going to be a Hemshach of the Bais HaSheni. So the Rambam in the Mar Nebuchim quotes the Chazal that Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy was Bas Begloria HaMeira as opposed to the other Nevi'im is Bas Begloria Shein in the era. And he shows the psukim located out of the emotion, called basic nemenu and so on. And then to show how obscure the other Nevi'im's Nevua was, he quotes this after that the Malach HaDoiva Bo says, Halo Yadati, you know what it represents? And Novi says, no, I don't know. Ma'ila Adon, I don't know what it represents. It doesn't correspond to reality. He knows that it represents Shnei B'nei HaYitzer, but it doesn't correspond to reality. So the Malach had explained to him, Pshat in the Nevua. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need any malach to explain. Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah bas pas begloria ha'ira. So it could well be that every so often there's a haftarah like that, that there's an obvious connection between the haftarah and the parsha, and then there's another connection that sometimes is even more important that's not that obvious. So over here, according to the Rambam and the Mor Nebuchim, this haftarah brings out the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu is that don ha'ira. There's a famous kasha, maybe we'll close with this, it's a little late, that the Minchas Chinuch is bothered with a kasha that the Gemara has a Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Gimel, Daf Pei Dalet, more quotes of Tosefta, Elu Shebemiso, Maseches Krisis lists off all the Lamed Bav Krisis, Hamuras, Batara 36, Aderes, which they are there, is the punishment is Kares, and then the Tosefta lists off Elu Shebemiso. Which Averis are you chai misvedation mindful? So one of the Averis is Oibra Di Reinovi. The Novi instructs you to do something, you don't follow through. So the punishment is misvedation mindful. So the Minchas Chinuch has nu, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Novi. So whoever talks Lashon Hara is misvedation mindful. Whoever misses Zman Kriya Shema one day is misvedation mindful. Any sneeze, anything that you do wrong is already misvedation mindful. So why do you have such a short list? All the 613 misses were given to Moshe by Moshe Rabbeinu. He's a Novi. So Rav Soloveitchik said the teretz of the kasha is that by definition, nevuah means hayroah shah. Moshe Rabbeinu said a few things hayroah shah. They shouldn't leave over them on, and they should knock on the next door neighbor's door before it's his mitzvah to ask for matanis. So whoever would violate a hayroah shah that was told over by Moshe Rabbeinu would talk b'chai meisib deshmaim. But all the dinim and the chumash that Moshe Rabbeinu said, he was a Navi, but his nevuah was really Torah. So Torah has its own rules and regulation. Torah mitzvahs means whatever is binding l'doris. That's what the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He has first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs as the 14 klolim, the 14 shoroshim that are the guiding principles that determine what belongs in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and what doesn't belong. So the Rambam's first klal is you only include din and deraisa. Then he has a second klal. I think you only include Torah shebichzav. And the third klal, I think, is that you only include what's binding l'doris, whatever's only harashah, is not called a mitzvah. So whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said as a harashah, the tak would be over navi would be chayim misa b'dei shemayim. But whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said, a din l'doris, that's not called, he was a navi, but that's not called over adivre navi, that's called over adivre Torah. So then you have different rules and regulations, sometimes malchus, sometimes misa's bezden, sometimes misa b'dei shemayim, sometimes chorus, and sometimes none of the above. So that's the teretz that Rav Soloveitchik said years ago in the 1940s. They printed in his name. And that's the standard teretz on that kasha, on the Minchas Chinuch kasha. Years ago, others used to give other teretz, but now that's the standard teretz, Rav Soloveitchik said. Okay, everyone should be blessed with a written Shabbos. We should all be healthy.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Shabbos, Rabbi.
Shabbos.
Monday we're going to continue. We're going to finish Kol HaBasar. We're going to start at 12 o'clock. Then we're going to, there isn't so much more left to Kol HaBasar, and we will start Gid HaNashe, beginning of Perek Gid HaNashe. Okay. A good Shabbos, everyone.
Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Shabbos.